good afternoon, and thank you for joining me today. Let's pray, right? Let's pray, pray, pray. Great to be able to spend time with you. And I do appreciate what Father Rocky was saying. I know you are prayer people, right? You have intentions. You see the fruit of the prayers that take place here every afternoon. So many miracles come in every week, and I'm grateful for everyone who spends the time just to send me an email. And if you want to say, hey, Drew, I prayed with you, or I asked for this particular intention, I never told you about it, but here's how God answered that prayer. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Maggie is on our social media. Send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. And Facebook and YouTube, two other great places to leave those intentions. If you are streaming us live, it's there. And I just assume you know the phone number to get in, right? You want to pray? You want to try to get your voice on the air or have others hear your intention? It is 888-914-9149. You know, I think about miracles, and Maggie and I have a little miracle to share with you. We're not going to do it today. It's with one of our colleagues. And I said to Maggie, it just makes me think that nothing is impossible with God. This particular person who is facing a real crisis, and we've been praying for them, took a pilgrimage to Lourdes, France, and met a mysterious messenger who I really believe was an angel, gave this person a message that rang true. They had an encounter with the healing waters of Lourdes. And then I have a friend, and she was on the air with me not too long ago, and she was saying how she turned to Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati. And this was a young man who had an accident with a gun, and a bullet went in, blinded him, took away his vision, lodged the bullet in his brain. And on Easter morning, a miracle took place. They've been praying to Blessed Frassati for a miracle. They've been asking him to heal. And somehow, some way, this bullet, where the boy couldn't have an MRI because of where it was lodged, somehow, inexplicably, and his father's a surgeon. He contacted the neurologist or the neurosurgeon. They don't have any idea how this bullet somehow ended up coming out of his nose. He had this urge to blow his nose, and there the bullet came. And we're going to put the image up for you to see at some point. I have it in my cell phone, and we'll try to get it up there for you to see. But I just saw a story that the prefect for the Dicastery of Causes for Saints has just said. It's being reported now that the canonization for Blessed Frassati is going to take place during 2025. So next year, church's jubilee year, there will be the canonization of the saints. So let's turn to the saints. Let's turn to the blesseds. Let's turn to the venerables. Let's turn to the servants of God. Let's turn to those who've gone before us. They're interceding. St. Faustina and St. Therese both promised that their mission would only begin after their death, that they'd be able to intercede in an even more powerful way. So I see miracles in the making. Some of them are instant. Some of them are slow going. Sometimes the Lord wants us to continue to persist. So I want to pray for you today, though. All right? I want to pray for you for whatever your intention is. Let's turn to the Lord right now, and we will pray. We'll lift up whatever's on your heart. Maggie, I know there's a lot of intentions coming in. Anything we need to start off with, or anything that you need to pray for?
Yeah, you know, I just got a text from my Aunt Molly. We've prayed for her a number of times. She's been dealing with respiratory issues and sinus infection problems for, I think, almost over half a year now. But she's finally starting a new medication, and she's hoping that this will finally make a difference. So we're praying for her and for her healing, and also for my mom and her back pain.
All right. Well, let's hear up. How's your brother doing? Still just praying.
Not sure. Just praying.
Praying for my brother, too. Mm-hmm. Praying for all of our siblings, our children, and let's pray for each other now. We'll pray for one another. Oh, today, I should probably remind you of this today. It is also the, today is, if I remember correctly, the canonization. It's the anniversary of the canonization of St. Faustina. So I want to lift that up and ask her to intercede for us in a special and very particular way. So we'll turn to her. If you have a special need, I mean, today's the day to do that. I remember her saying very specifically in her diary, you know, that she would pull back the veils of heaven so that you and me, doubting souls, would no longer wound the most tender heart of Jesus with our distrust. You know, she had childlike faith. She really did. She prayed like a young child. And that's kind of where I get my own spirituality from. Total trust in the mercy of God, total trust in it. And she's interceding for us today. So let's ask her on the anniversary of her canonization to really go before the throne of God for whatever that need is that you need. So we'll begin as we always do, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call this afternoon. From Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for dialing in.
Oh, thank you, Drew. I have a problem here. My aunt is 107 years old. She was born 2 days after the first Fatima apparition. And she knows she's going to die, and she's asking people to pray for her that she has a happy death. And also, yeah, and then a friend of the family, he died unexpectedly. I guess he knew that he was pretty ill, but he didn't want to worry people, I guess. And yeah, prayers for him and also for his wife, who just is having a terrible time handling his death because she had no prior knowledge.
Wow.
It was sudden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never understand that. You know, I've got a friend who never discloses to his wife his health. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're a partner, you're married. Mm-hmm. What a bombshell for her. Tom, we'll pray for her and for your aunt. 107 years ago, over a century ago. She was born around the time of this Fatima apparition. That's amazing. Well, let's pray. We'll pray for her right now. We'll ask the Fatima seers to intercede. I know, Tom, you have lots of different intentions. We'll pray for you and for all those intentions. But, Lord, I do pray for those close to death, those you've given many years to. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray for those who mourn, those who you are calling home expectedly and unexpectedly. And I ask you to show mercy to me and all who are now praying with me at the hour of our death. I ask you to hear these prayers, that you'll come as a merciful judge, you know, not a just judge, but a merciful Savior, Lord, that you will embrace us with your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tom is, Bernadette is up next. She's in LaGrange, Texas. Hi, Bernadette.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I have a prayer request for my daughter-in-law. with all kinds of physical ailments, but right now her biggest problem is her eyes. And my son and his and my daughter-in-law have two small children, and she really needs to be healed, especially with this problem with her eyes. And she loves to read, and she's nauseated every time she looks at the computer or tries to read. So I pray for healing for her.
Let's pray for her. We'll pray for you too, Bernadette. I'm glad you got through today. And it's a good day to get through. I really do believe that. You know, I think of St. Faustina and her promise of interceding for us after her death in a special way. You know, St. Teresa of Lisieux, she said that I'll spend my heaven doing good upon earth, and I will let fall from heaven a shower of roses. I believe in the communion of saints, and I believe many of these men and women who live these heroic lives of virtue are joining us now in prayer. So let's ask these powerhouse saints, especially Faustina today, to bring healing. Lord, I pray for anyone who is suffering from nausea, anyone who's got neurological problems. I pray for her daughter-in-law's vision in particular, Lord, that you remedy that particular issue. And I give you all of Bernadette's intentions, and you know mine. You know all who are now crying out to you. So, Heavenly Father, through the intercession of your saints, we turn to you with trust as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Marie from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, I believe that's the home of NFL Films. We go to Maggie, right here in studio with me. And Maggie's got her eyes on all those intentions that are coming in. Maggie, what's going on?
Sue Ellen wrote to us, Drew. She said, please pray that 92-year-old William will be found safe. He's been missing for a month now. Please pray for his family and all the law enforcement and investigators that are helping with this case.
92 years old.
92. His name's William Weber. Mm. Lord, please. Jolene sent this to us yesterday, and I wish we had gotten to it, but God is outside of time. She said, I'm sitting in my kid's school pickup line, and there's an ambulance here. I looked over, and there's a child on the ground, and an EMT is helping him. Please pray for this child. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. Alicia wrote, she said, I have a praise report, and I give thanks to the Lord that my husband did his first communion and confirmation this past December. I ask prayers for him to stay committed to his faith.
That's great.
And that the Lord would give him strength during any struggles and during his job, since he provides for our family. Randall wrote to us, he said, prayer intentions for my cousin. He's a huge fan of Drew's and introduced me to this show. He is struggling with addiction and recently checked into a treatment facility for his wife and his son's sake.
What's his name?
This is Randall writing to us, but I don't know what his cousin's name.
Okay. I'm going to pray for him when I leave the studio today.
He says, I'm praying that this season will lead all of them closer to God.
Amen.
And Bridget sent us a praise report saying, through the grace of God and this chaplet, I have been sober and free of alcohol for 68 days.
I'm so happy for you.
I called the station when a priest was on about addiction, and he prayed with me on air, and I am eternally grateful.
That Father Brady? Who was that?
Probably.
Yeah, what a... You know what? I mean, look, I was sitting down with somebody the other day who was struggling with addiction. Oh, it was a colleague of ours. I'll keep the name quiet. I don't want to disclose, not they're addicted, but they have a relative that is addicted. And they're now on the path to sobriety. And we were talking about how the saints draw us and call us, and she's been drawn by a particular saint. And I'll share the story one day. Maybe she can come on and share it with me. But it made me just think about addiction. And I love this answered prayer, because God hears prayers. Addiction is the one thing that you feel like you have no power over whatsoever, no matter what you say, do, or kind of treatment you go to, never seems to resolve the issue. With God, all things are possible. And I share with her not only the story I've shared a million times about my own father, he was miraculously liberated. Now, if you have a loved one with addiction, God can heal. He can free. You know, that's a disease. Just as he can vanquish cancer and heal leprosy, he can free addiction. So let's pray for those impossible situations, the cancer that you're dealing with right now, those impossible financial, you know, quandaries that you find yourself in. Drew, it'll take a million years to get out of this situation. Not with God. Not with God. You know, 1,000 years are like a day, right? With God. In a heartbeat, he can do anything. So let's just pray right now. We'll lift up all those intentions, and we'll add Marie to the mix. She's in Cherry Hill. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I would like to offer up a friend of mine I knew since I was 10 years old. Her brother, Bob, is going through a neurological update for his mental stability. And for myself, I need a financial healing or a breakthrough. Okay. And you're talking about giving up addiction. I'm addicted to cigarettes since I was 14. Ooh, and I'm now in my 60s. And I'm trying to quit. So if I'm going to try to fast. So maybe that financial breakthrough that I can go to a shrine that I'm always wanted to go to Lourdes. And I would like to go there, and I would like to offer up my fasting and my cigarette, if I stop smoking, to Our Lady of Lourdes.
Amen.
So I go to Lourdes.
I'm going to be going, I think, next year in 2025 to Lourdes,
okay,
and to France and to Portugal, places like that. So we'll tell you more about that when that gets put together. But Marie, I'll pray for you today, too. Fasting is the answer. I'm telling you, it's a great way. If you can conquer, you know, your appetites, if you will, through fasting, you'll be able to conquer your cigarettes and everything else that seem to have those hooks into you. And what a financial reprieve that'll be. So I know how expensive smoking can be. So let's pray for you right now. We'll pray for those suffering neurological issues. But let's pray for those with addiction. Cigarettes are another one. Maybe compulsions. Whatever they may be, Lord, I give you the addicted. And I just ask, for healing and liberation. I pray for financial breakthroughs too. So often the numbers just don't add up. And that's a real tough one to have faith and trust in. When you say, I make X and my bills are X and I'm in trouble, right? The interest rate is ticking away. Lord, I pray for your providence. I pray for your abundance and I pray for your financial blessings. I pray for big miracles and surprises for those who now unite with me as I turn to you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, June is in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Hi, June. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm calling in for my brother-in-law who is in the hospital and he's dying right now. He needs all of our prayers. And when I saw him today, I made him the promise that I would say the Divine Chaplet with you today because it was one of his favorite prayers and that. And I'd like comfort for his daughter, my goddaughter, who's getting married in 6 weeks and he should have been walking her down the aisle. And we're all pretty hurt by all of this.
I'm sorry, June. I really am. And you know what? Let's pray for a miracle. I know that,
I've been praying hard.
It might be his hour. I mean, we all make this transition. Mm-hmm. But, let's pray for his family. Let's pray for his health. Let's pray for you. Lord, I give you all who mourn. I give you June's brother-in-law here in hospice. Someone else just stopped me recently and mentioned that their loved one was going in hospice. And Lord, I know life is a blink. It's a heartbeat. It's a brief moment in time, and one day we'll stand with you in a place of perfect freedom and joy and love. And I look forward to that day. And I ask that for those who are dying right now, that you will be merciful to their souls and make their hour of death a peaceful and holy one. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to pray this chapel. I can't tell you, June, how grateful I am, because the Lord attached so many promises to the dying with this prayer. And, you know, he invited us to pray for the dying. It's a great prayer to do that. So I stand on those promises, Lord. If it's his hour, then we just ask that it be a peaceful transition. But I never limit you either. You can resurrect from the dead. You could certainly heal June's brother-in-law. So whatever your will is, I bring it to you, and I give you the most impossible situation and the soul today who's most in need of your mercy, as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call today comes from, is it Bill? Yeah, Bill is in Bristol, Rhode Island. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm okay. How are
good.
You?
Drew, I listen to you all the time. I'd like to offer some prayers for a young lady who, very young girl who had, I think her name is Styler, who has cancer. She's currently being treated with stem cells. So I'd like you to offer prayers for her and all these young kids with cancer. And also, I'd like to offer prayers for continued healing for Madeline, who is in your Illinois office. I found out she took a terrible fall, but she's now back to work, and she helped me solve some problems today, which I won't go into. But
Bill, I'll tell you what. She is a sweetheart. Madeline totally. Has got such a beautiful spirit. Her brother is a priest, and I'm glad you had your interaction with her, because she's something else. And thank you for your call to pray for her. Madeline had a fall, had to get several stitches just recently, and it was very charitable and kind of you, and I'm sure Madeline's listening now, so she's heard your thank you as well. But, Lord, we pray for, I think you said the name was Styler. I want to pray for Madeline. I want to pray for Styler. I want to pray for Bill, for all of his personal needs and intentions. Lord, I'm grateful for this friend and prayer warrior, someone who prays with us every day. And I give you his needs. We lift them up. And we're going to add on this final deck, just a call or two extra if we could. Carrie is in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. She's joining us now, too. Carrie, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Hi, Maggie. I listen to you guys all the time.
All right. Well, thank
and,
you for doing
that. I appreciate all you do. And Maggie, your baby and your husband and you are all in my prayers.
Thank you
for
so
a safe
much.
Delivery.
God bless you.
I have several intentions, but the first one would be that my husband and I own some property that we just cannot sell, and we were really hoping that we could use this in this later stage of our lives. So if we could just have some prayer warriors pray for somebody to step forward and buy this property that we need to get rid of,
so
that would be great.
Carrie, is it in Sturgeon Bay?
Yeah. No.
I was going to say, Sturgeon Bay is beautiful. That should sell.
I know. I was going to say.
A gorgeous
no,
place.
This is an,
send us
it's
the
in
info.
Illinois, and it's beautiful. But, we just haven't been able to sell it. So let's hope that somebody comes through and gets it. But also, for division in our extended families, so many of our family members have abandoned their Catholic faith. And for our adopted daughter, we're praying for help with her mental illness and her healing. So thank you guys so much for all you do. You're all in our prayers.
Well, Carrie, thank you. We'll pray especially for that beautiful daughter of yours and for the challenges that you have, especially financially. And Lord, I know you hear these prayers. I lift them up along with everyone else. And Carrie, I'll try to remember you on my walk to Mary. On the weekend as well. I know you're not too far from Champion, Wisconsin. So we'll invoke the powerful intercession of Our Lady, along with St. Faustina today and Blessed Sopochko and all these great divine mercy intercessors on this day that the Lord Faustina was elevated to the altars. It was also on this day that John Paul II put on the liturgical calendar the Great Feast of Divine Mercy. So, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. This is the devotion of the time. It's something you want spread and known, and you have responded in such powerful ways to those who've trusted in your mercy. So I intercede on behalf of everyone, Catherine and Peter and Desiree and Martha and Patty and Carrie and Stephanie and Mary and everyone who's on hold here with me and everyone who's united with me in prayer and everyone who's leaving their intentions with us now. St. Faustina, we ask your intercession before the throne of our merciful Father as we pray, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
St. Pius V,
pray for us.
Oh, you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, quick question for you. Since today is the anniversary of the canonization of St. Faustina, was on April 30th. And I want to share a little bit of insight on who Faustina was, her encounter with the Lord earlier. I'll share a little bit about her when I come back. But have you turned to her for intercession, and has she answered your prayers? I'd love to hear the power of St. Faustina's intercession in your life. And you can give me a call on our toll-free number here, 888-914-9149. Even Divine Mercy, how you came to know and love the devotion. We're going to talk a little bit about Divine Mercy when I return. So a lot of little facts, information, tidbits, and some fun. That's all straight ahead. Stay with me. I'm back with more right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska of the Blessed Sacrament was born as Helena Kowalska in Poland on August 25, 1905. After finishing her schooling, Faustina wanted to immediately join a convent, but her parents refused. In 1924, Faustina experienced her first vision of Jesus. He instructed her to leave for Warsaw immediately and join a convent. On February 22, 1931, Faustina was visited by Jesus, who presented himself as the King of Divine Mercy while wearing a white garment with red and pale rays coming from his heart. In her diary, Faustina writes, "After a while, Jesus said to me, 'Paint an image according to the pattern you see,' with the inscription, 'Jesus, I trust in you.'" 3 years later, in 1934, The first painting of the image was created by Eugene Cousin Murawski.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's so good to be with you today. What a great day, huh? Day in which St. Faustina was raised to the altar. She is one of my favorite saints. And I say this a lot. I don't have any evidence of it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I tend to think the saints choose us, don't they? Maybe you have a special devotion to a particular saint. And you say, yeah, I don't know why. I was just drawn to this particular saint. I remember when I was just discovering and learning Divine Mercy. I was actually brought to Poland before St. Faustina became before she even beatified. I was working on a documentary that time. And I remember kneeling before her grave, before her tomb, and praying. And this is after Maureen Digan, the woman who was miraculously healed, and her miracle led to the beatification of St. Faustina just a couple years earlier. Faustina was not even beatified. I was going to attend that beatification in the future. But I remember feeling, I don't know, a presence, an anointing, if you will. Maybe that's a good way of putting it. I felt her speaking to me. I didn't hear her voice, but I felt a call. And little did I know that I would be dedicating a majority of my public life and personal life to spreading divine mercy. I would go on to produce this documentary on Divine Mercy and introducing a lot of people to it. I'd write the book on Divine Mercy. I would have a national platform given to me by God to be able to go ahead and to introduce others to the beauty of this very humble saint and this incredible message that Jesus Christ gave to her. And at the canonization of St. Faustina in 2000, John Paul II, he reflected on the message of mercy. And he said that St. Faustina, he said she stood like a bridge between the 20th century, one of the most violent times in human history, as we know, and the third millennium. She was the first canonized saint of the third millennium. And John Paul II, he had the mass of canonization for St. Faustina. It was also on that day. It was on April 30th, 2000, the same day he canonized her. He put the cherry on the cake, if you will. He fulfilled the mission of St. Faustina. And the one thing that the Lord spoke to her more about than anything else, and that was the great feast of divine mercy. St. Faustina was the third of 10 children. She was born back in 1905. She came from very poor beginnings, a very religious family. And maybe if I had time, I could talk to you a little bit about her mother and father. But they were peasants. And she was baptized with the name Helena. And at the very tender age, she stood out because she loved prayer. She was obedient. She did her job. She did her work. She was sensitive to the poor. And when she was just 7 years old, I mean, think about that. You're in what, second grade at seven, first, second grade? She felt the calling to religious life. She made her first Holy Communion at 9, which was a very profound moment. The Lord made himself very aware of his presence in her soul. And her story goes on. I've invited today Father Nicholas Federspiel to join me today to share a little bit about the extraordinary life of St. Faustina, her mission. And, of course, Father's such a wonderful priest, always filled with lots of facts and information. He's a priest from the Rockford Diocese in Illinois, currently serves as a chaplain for the Rockford Diocese Prison Ministry and a chaplain to the poor Clares there in Rockford. Father, good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for this privilege, and hello to everyone listening on this special day when we thank Jesus for raising up the first saint of this third millennium, St. Faustina, 24 years ago this very day. And if we want to go to heaven, then we need to know folks in high places, right? And if we embrace Faustina's message of divine mercy, then we can help Jesus, right, reawaken the sleeping giant that we call the Catholic Church. This is the most important topic I think I've talked about on Relevant Radio with you, Drew, and I think it's the most important topic I've ever discussed as a priest. It's the entire meaning of life is how to be a saint, right, to choose the more excellent way. And if we can only help one person become a little holier, that's more important than helping a million people become a lot more successful, right? It's the one thing necessary. It's what Paul talks about in Corinthians, right, to choose the more excellent way. And that's why we want to discuss today why today is so important. From all eternity, God knew that all of us would be having this conversation today as we begin day one, as the year-long preparation to the silver anniversary next year, right? Just a year away, the 25th anniversary of celebrating 25 years of sainthood, of Saint wow. Faustina. Wow. And what a privilege it is to say, what is Jesus asking us to do as we begin on day one, this year-long preparation, this whole year of celebrating the life of Faustina as we get ready for next year's big silver anniversary jubilee of her canonization? And what does that look like? What does that mean? How is Jesus calling us to be a saint, and what does that look like?
Well, I didn't realize it was 25 years already. I don't know where the time goes. It's absolutely amazing. My guest today is Father Nicholas Federspiel, and you can join us as well. Father, let's take a few calls. And then, you know, I thought of you this morning when my producing team and I were talking about it. I said, hey, today's the anniversary of St. Faustina's canonization. I said, I remember Father Nicholas came by. He had all of these facts and interesting details about Faustina. I just thought it was so not only entertaining but informative. And I want you to go through a few of those. But let's start in Cherry Hill, New Jersey first. Marie is listening to us there. Marie, hi. You're on the air with Father Federspiel. Go right ahead.
Hi, my niece, okay, was born the day Faustina was beatified,
wow.
Okay? Then a couple of years later, she received her communion on Divine Mercy Sunday. So when, as she grew older, she was looking for a confirmation name. I suggested Faustina, and she used Faustina as her confirmation name because she was born the day she was beatified. And she received her first Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday. So I thought it would be appropriate that she would be Faustina and her confirmation name, and she loved it.
Well, you know what, Marie, you just did something special for me, and I'll tell you what it is. My own daughter, Olivia, her confirmation name is Faustina, too. She took Faustina. And I've been praying for her. She's been looking for a job, right, for a little bit. Right now she's kind of stuck in the same position and really wants to change. I'm thinking, who should I turn to? I'm turning to Faustina. I'm starting a novena today for my youngest daughter. I'm going to put her on it today because Faustina promised she'd continue to intercede for us and work from the other side. I love that. Imagine, Father, getting your first Holy Communion when the floodgates of mercy are open on Divine Mercy Sunday. Amazing.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that good news about your niece being born on April 18th, 1993, and sharing that name, Faustina. Here in Rockford, where I live and serve at the Monastery of the Poor Clares, one of our youngest nuns this summer is going to make her first vows, and her name is Sister Marie Faustina of our Eternal Father. What a beautiful day. And to think about how important April 30th was when she was alive. When Helen Kowalska received her habit, when she received her name of Sister Faustina, it was April 30th, 1926. When she made her first vows, it was April the 30th, 1928.
Wow.
You just can't make this up. Praise God. And think about it. 24 years ago today, April the 30th of the year 2000, she became a saint as we're preparing for next year's big silver anniversary. And I like to remind everyone why this is so important, because Faustina became a saint because she took her vows seriously. Right, she made her first vows on the 30th of April, 1928. And think about this. It's the single most important human activity that binds and stabilizes any community by binding together the past with the present with the future. Right? When we say, I promise you, you can be sure that what I do to you tomorrow will be the exact same thing as what I do today. And let's all ask the Holy Spirit to rush upon us, to give us that grace that we need to keep promises for our Prince of Peace.
Wow, this is so... She received her habit, 1926, April 30th, made a profession of vow, 1928, on April 30th, canonized in the year 2000 on April 30th. That's pretty amazing. That's a great little fact, Father. Becky's in Palm Desert, California. Becky, good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have a really beautiful story about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. Back in 1997, I told you about this once. I was at church. My kids were in second grade. I had twin daughters. And my mother was a devout Catholic. And, of course, at that time, I was what I call a part-time Catholic. And so in the back of the church, there was a photocopy of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I took it. I showed it to my mom. She had never heard of it. I prayed it that first Easter. But I was so disconnected with the Catholic Church. I remember being in a restaurant. And I said, excuse me. And I went, because it was the last day, and I went to the bathroom, and I prayed it. Now, the thing is, you just said today, my best friend and I were in a car accident in high school. Today's her birthday, April 30th. That was my first experience with death. Fast forward a few years later, I end up working in a mortuary. And I do the Divine Mercy. I pray for the dead.
Beautiful.
My brother was murdered in 2020. And I had just completed, you know, all the churches were locked down. But my church, thank God, was doing the Divine Mercy Novena. He was murdered that night. My bed shook like somebody should get up and pray. Somebody told me, Becky, you should pray. I prayed the Divine Mercy. I have shared this prayer with new Catholics, friends that are coming back. A friend of mine had not gone to confession in 45 years. He prayed the whole Novena with me one Easter. Went to communion, went to confession, and now he's not doing very well. But, you know, you said the saints pick us. She picked me. I had no idea. And I believe it. I believe in all the miracles, and right now I have some special attentions, and there is no doubt in my mind this is going to come through. So please pray for me, and I will pray for you.
Well, how beautiful. Thank you so much, Becky, for that call. I love it, and what a beautiful ministry to pray, not just for the sick and dying, but for those who've gone before us as well. And Father Federspiel, I know you know this. Anyone who spreads devotion to Divine Mercy, as she is, she's introducing others to it. The Lord promised special protection. He says, I'll protect you like a mother, her tender infant. He also said that in the next life, you'll shine with a special brilliance. He recommended priests, and I'm assuming, Father, you do this as well, priests who recommend the Chapel of Divine Mercy, the fruit of your ministry and the conversions from that would abound. What's been, and maybe we can pick it up on the other side on this point. What has been your experience like spreading Divine Mercy just in terms of your own priesthood? I'd love to hear that. Number of people are on hold. We'll take your calls too. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. Celebrating today the canonization of St. Faustina. It's been 24 years. It was on this day John Paul II raised her to the altars and also, of course, instituted the great feast of Divine Mercy. Stay with me. We're back with more right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me.
Oh, that's Maggie, the queen of the rejoin. Maggie, good rejoin. I like that. We're talking mercy today, right? We're talking today the canonization of St. Faustina. It was on this day in the year 2000. She was raised to the altars. It was also on this day that John Paul II officially declared the Feast of Divine Mercy on the liturgical calendar. And it's something that the Lord spoke to Faustina. It was more than anything, the first thing he spoke to her of, actually. And this was her mission. He said to her, he chose her to be the secretary of his mercy. And she has a diary in which she has recorded every revelation she had from the Lord. There's no corrections, no erasures in it. And there's private revelation, there's encounters with the Lord and various saints, there's personal reflections. It's just a treasury of the church. Some believe that one day she'll be a doctor of the church, and they also believe that this will be one of the great works of mystical theology or mystical literature. We'll see what happens. You know, what the Lord said to her, he said to her, look, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. He says, but today I am sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world, because I do not want to punish aching mankind. I desire to heal it, to press it to my merciful heart. And that was Faustina's message, to bring to the world this beautiful message that the world needs so much. He told her in another diary entry later on that the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to his mercy. So Divine Mercy, it's the message for our time, both for us personally and I think for us globally. And we should be turning to the Lord with great trust, invoking his mercy. I think if you do, you're going to see it. We're hearing right now from several callers around the nation as to how St. Faustina, and in particular mercy, has transformed their own lives. And the Lord's, he wants to give it to us. Father, it's great to have you with us. You know, we were sharing a little bit about some of these testimonies that have come in. And I'm just curious, because you as a priest, have a special anointing, a special vocation and calling. And I know the Lord must be using you in a powerful way as well. Share with me how you discovered mercy and also the fruit of it that you're seeing.
I think my favorite example of the joy of getting to know Faustina is giving the diary to an inmate at a county jail, a young fellow named Anthony. He was in his 20s, charged with murder, part of a gang murder, and he's now been sentenced and will spend the next 60 years in state prison. And we continued to write and keep in touch. But when I first got to meet him, I would meet him week after week after week after week. Every Thursday, I'd go see him. Not a Catholic, right? Not a Catholic, but he was very interested in talking with me every week. And I gave him the diary, and we would talk every week. And he would tell me about his conversations they got into by reading the diary. And I encourage everyone to read the diary. Pray the chaplet, but read the diary. This young man, Drew, he read the diary from cover to cover. He told me this. He said at night before he went to bed in the jail cell, he said the only thing that gave him peace at night was to read passages from Faustina. Think about this. Not a baptized Catholic. He's not a member of my congregation. He's just a fellow I went to see in jail. And think about the simplicity of Faustina, right? Third grade education, yet a mystic. And she talks about praying with Jesus, praying the rosary in her cell. And think about that. A room of a nun at a convent, at a monastery is called a cell, right? And we also know that's also where we put prisoners, in jail cells. And that's why it was so relevant, making that connection to bridge that gap between faith and everyday life. This young man, Anthony, in jail in his 20s, he said he would sit in a cell and he would read about a saint from Poland, and it really made faith come alive. And he read the whole diary from cover to cover, and he really, to me, showed a great, great testimony. I just encourage everyone to read the diary. It's 692 pages. That's one thing I did during the pandemic. I started reading on Divine Mercy Sunday, finished up by Pentecost, to read all these words and think, if what we're doing, if what we have is not helping us to become a saint, then the very best, we're just wasting our time, right? Saint Faustina is the one trying to get the attention of the whole world, saying, be a saint. What does that mean? Why is today so important? To be a saint, it means that in the circumstances of our life that are difficult, I call them DC. We all have DC. We all have difficult circumstances. And in those difficult circumstances, Jesus Christ will give us the graces we need to practice virtue promptly and easily and joyfully and frequently. That's what it means to be a saint, right? There's nothing more attractive. There's nothing more appealing. There's nothing more beautiful than holiness, right? High-level virtue. And that's what today's about. That's what it means to be a saint. It means that when I have difficult circumstances, when they're staring me in the face, right, I'm going to be able to find advantage in adversity. I'm going to be able to find triumph in temptation. I'm going to be able to find opportunities in obstacle. And praise God, right now in this century, God is raising up new saints everywhere we turn.
My guest today, Father Nicholas Federspiel. We're going to take your calls. Thanks for dialing in. And I'm going to keep him a little long today. So I want to hear from you. I love Divine Mercy, Father. You were talking about the diary, and I know it's hard for some people to read. And what I would recommend, it was a bishop that I know, he would sit down every day and just read like one passage of the diary. And you can get through it that way. The diary of St. Faustina comprises about six of her notebooks. They had 600 printed pages. There's, as I said before, not a single correction or erasure. There was a deceptive angel that appeared to her early on and told her to burn her diary, right? And she actually did. Her spiritual director was away at the time. So you can see that when it's rewritten, and maybe this is part of God's divine plan, maybe he wanted to reveal something different to us. She had to rewrite that particular diary that had been burned, but she recorded 82 specific revelations. There were 1,800 teachings along with insights and prayers, and these are given directly by Jesus himself or our Blessed Mother, the saints, and I'm telling you, it's a powerful, powerful work to read. I often say, Father, some of my favorite spiritual books you have to have in your library, you know, the Bible, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I think the Diary of St. Faustina is another one on that shelf. Let's go back to the phones. Maria is listening to us in St. Gabriel, California. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Drew. And thank you, Father. I am a devout, I'm a devout follower of the Divine Mercy. Okay. I pray my chaplet every day. And I've gotten a lot of really, really good miracles in my life and my family through the Divine Mercy. But my question is, Father, how do you feel? And I don't know if you have run into this. There's a lot of good Catholic groups in social media, but there's some people who are trying to discredit the Divine Mercy, mm-hmm. and there's Sister Faustina, and they're saying that the Divine Mercy is not true, not to follow it, but it's really the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus mm-hmm. that is real and not the Divine Mercy, and that Saint Faustina's works is all very questionable.
No, that's, of course, they're managers of myth. Let's just call them what they are. Because in the room, the Bible says from Jesus, in my Father's house there are many rooms, right? So our church is big enough to have devotion to the Sacred Heart, right, and Divine Mercy, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Infant of Prague, right? The good news is it's both and, it's not either or. And at the heart of Divine Mercy is this devotion to the Sacred Heart. You can't have mercy without Jesus' Sacred Heart, and he shed all 12 pints of his precious blood on the Holy Cross, right? That came straight from his heart. So I think, Maria, just it's a great opportunity, as you say, to enlighten others, to shine upon them, and to say, it is right there in the middle of the Divine Mercy. It's all coming from the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
So no reason to be bitter. No reason to be disappointed. Praise God for the opportunity we have to tell the good
news. I've got to take a short break. We're going to come back. I'll offer just a quick thought on that, and we'll take all your calls. Stay with us.